Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Raven Radio's first in a long time town hall meeting. We're calling this Making Our Money Work Better in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director at Raven Radio, and when Mark Gorman first approached me about this idea, I thought we would call this town hall meeting Balancing Our Revenues and Expectations, but I thought that was, I don't know, too pedestrian or something. So it's Making Our Money Work Better in Sitka, and I did this all without consulting you, but it was mentioned in that email I sent you 10 minutes ago. So, Mark Gorman did bring this idea to Raven Radio, and I'll let him explain what he has in mind in just a minute, but I wanted to go over the format with you. For those of you listening on the air tonight, there are about 30 folks here at Harrigan Centennial Hall who've come down to watch the meeting in person, and anyone's welcome to come and watch while we're doing this over the next hour or 90 minutes or so. If you'd also like to participate, you can go to kcaw.org and find our the link to our Facebook page and post a comment there or post a comment on our website. But what's going to happen is that we'll introduce our panel after Mark speaks, and we'll give them each a few minutes to characterize some of the major financial challenges they faced as city administrator. And then we'll open the floor to kind of a general discussion, and I'll raise three themes that were actually brought up at the school board hearing the other night at Pacific High, this idea of how Sitka might have to consider raising taxes, trimming spending, or growing the economy as ways to kind of make ends meet in town. And we'll let you all share your ideas on those three themes, and our panelists can just respond to the ideas that are presented, because I think our city administrators probably have the best reality check on what really is possible within the city administration to accomplish in some of these areas. And we'll also bring in ideas from our listening audience. As I mentioned, we've started a thread on the KCAW Raven Radio Facebook page. And when we're all done, we'll hand it back to current city administrator Mark Gorman to sort of give us maybe his takeaway on what he's learned here tonight and what he'll, you know, take from this meeting and from when he attends, you know, school board hearings on the budget, what he'll do with this information when he gets back and starts to kind of build the budget with the city finance department. And so that's how things are going to go, and I just wanted to remind everybody that this is a conversation. It's not a public hearing. We're on live radio right now, and we have a diverse audience, including children, listening. And these are not elected officials. They're residents, just like the rest of us, and except for Mark, they're volunteering their time and their ideas. So with that, I'd like to introduce our current city administrator, Mark Gorman, and have him talk about what he hopes to hear and accomplish tonight.
Thank you all for coming. I'm impressed with the turnout, and thank you, Rob, for organizing this, and thank you for giving me my marching instructions about 20 minutes ago. I compiled a few notes. I may have to consult them. I would like to start off with the alternate title that John Stein gave to this forum. It's Four Old Guys Trying to Find Balance. Actually, these four old guys here kind of remind me of a police lineup, a handsome one at that. I started work in mid-October, and I was really very fortunate to have these three gentlemen sitting to my left give me some of their time when I first arrived. And from that, I gained both guidance and insight and lessons learned from them and their experience, which I've been applying every day since I've been at the city and borough of Sitka. One of the things that I really picked up very clearly from each of the three is their passion for this community and making sure this community fits us all. In fact, one of the things that Gary said to me, I have emblazoned on my whiteboard, so any of you who come to the office will see it there. He said, empower your workforce, but hold them accountable. Gary, thank you for that wisdom. I think we all recognize that the future of Sitka, there's some challenges out there. And unless we hit pay dirt with perhaps bulk water or some unforeseen economic opportunity, we as a community are going to have to start a very serious discussion of what we need, what we want, what we can afford, and what are the resources we have to get there. I see tonight really as the beginning of that discussion, that dialogue. And I really think that Sitka is incredibly rich in terms of the experience we have here, and I continue to learn from them. I consider them the municipal administrators emeriti. I had to look up the plural of emeritus, and I believe it is emeriti. So I count on your counsel and look forward to it, and very much am eager to hear your thoughts as how we as a community move forward in harmony and in direction in consult with our residents.
All right, thanks, Mark. Let's just go down the line and start with John Stein and tell us when you were city administrator, John, and just sort of characterize briefly.
What was going on?
Yeah,
I've got several paragraphs here, but.
Well, yes. the floor is yours, but I think if we know sort of what you faced as administrator, it might help us all have context about what we face now.
Well, quite a number of years ago, actually mid-life, I went back to school and got a degree, a bachelor's degree in public administration. And one of the things I learned there was that politicians come and go, but the bureaucrats really are the glue that hold organizations together. So I guess I'm happy to be a bureaucrat, although I did come home one time and I told my kids, I'm a bureaucrat, and they said, oh no, Daddy, not that. But anyway, so I was at administrator for the city and borough for 3 years, the summer of 2005 to 2008. At the time, tourism was strong but declining. We'd just come off, I think, our 260,000 person year, but it was pretty clear there were some changes going on. Fish tax was an issue, more processing of pinks and chum salmon, and the establishment of the Silver Bay processing plant out there at the industrial park increased the amount of fish tax that was collected. There was active speculation on bulk water, and we made quite a bit of money just thinking about bulk water. People paid money to the city for the right to have bulk water, and those speculative activities sort of faded away by the end of my term there, and we ended up with I think the bottling plant and one contract. Guided fishing, the fish box tax was brought up by the assembly, and that was passed trying to balance the revenue from commercial caught salmon and sport caught salmon. A big change in the city organization was that the employees organized, and we no longer had a single essentially contract. We had the electrical workers, the Alaska State Employees Association, the police union, the unorganized group. Did I say electric? Anyway, and our personnel efforts were stressed getting those contracts organized and negotiated. The assembly at the time was led by Marco Dapsevich, and Marco had some really good ideas. One of his mantras was just good enough. Don't overdo things, just do it good enough and hold the line on taxes. As far as revenue goes, we were facing the threat of the loss of the secure rural schools money, and Ted Stevens and Don Young were approached for all the years I was there to preserve that program, and that is still providing revenue to the city at this point. But again, everybody's expecting that support to maybe fade. We just come off the recent approval of the auditorium bond, and I was here during the construction of that addition to the Sitka High School. We, through Dave at the finance department. We had established a building and equipment sinking funds, which had been, I think, in place before I came on board, but were a real boon to the city because there were reserves in place to replace fire engines and police cars and heavy-duty equipment and that sort of thing, as well as to put roofs on City Hall and a number of the other buildings. I think we counted up that there were 20 buildings that needed roofs, and roofs lasted about 20 years, so we had to put a roof on a building every year. And a lot of those projects were $1 million or more. So we also had an initiative looking at affordable housing. We hired a young man named Felix A. Young, and we had him on board for, I think, just less than a year, but his report is still available online, and I know that issue is coming up again here, but he had some really good ideas on how to provide housing for younger families and to keep the prices down. And then I guess another major thing that I was involved with was the purchase of the bench lands. And it was a very much assembly-driven effort, and I think we spent $3 million with the University of Alaska to purchase that real estate. And it was a busy 3 years.
Right. Thanks, John Stein. Gary Paxton.
First of all, I grew up and said 30 years in the Army, came back to the best job I've ever had, being city administrator for 9 years. And my mission, my view of the mission of city government is service, budget, planning. You can't do good service or good planning if you don't have a detailed understanding of the budget and you don't keep the budget under control. So that's a center thing. Second point I will make, early on there, because they had asked for a comprehensive plan, we went through a comprehensive plan process, and I think there's probably a lot to be criticized how well we did that, but we worked that for 6 months, had all kinds of citizens come in and out of the process, tell us what they liked and what they didn't like, what they wanted and what they didn't want, and there was three things, in my view, that everybody wanted. Small town atmosphere, quality of life, and a good economy. And my view is that those things need to be embraced and nurtured by the administrator, administration, and the assembly. But the most challenging of those three is the economy. All kinds of ways to slow down economic process and opportunity, and you need to be able, in a thoughtful and practical way, ensuring that you do everything that's going to take care of environmental impacts and so forth. But you've got to work to, in my view, to help the economy do all that it needs to do. Next, government has an unlimited appetite to do good. So do department heads. And the administrator and the assembly have to say no to those things that we cannot do. And some of that's a fine line, but if you don't, you'll have budget creep that will soon take city government and expenses beyond where it needs to be. Now, the good news is that our citizens, in my view, have always come to the needs of the city government in our town when the need is there. I had two major challenges with our city administrator for 9 years. One was a mill closing, was a pretty dramatic impact in this town, about a quarter or a third of the economy. And the second was the transfer of the mill site. I could talk in detail about that if you would like me to. But in the mill closing, at that time we had a 4% sales tax. And in those days, the old guard, if you were going to raise taxes or fees, it was a serious opposition to that. But if you do your good work, you provide the information, the citizens will provide you the money you need. And we went from 4% to 5% for sales tax. And every 2 years, I think, the voters voted again whether to keep that or not. And after two or three times doing that, they finally said you could keep the 5% sales tax. and we lived within that. And the deal was, that's what you get, and you live within that. And and my point is that as today with the dam and the good work that's been done with the raising of the dam and all the good work going on out there, you know, I think the city government did a good job of providing information to the public, and we have supported that. So there's the need to control spending, but there's also the need to be sure the population knows why you need to do it, and then they will support. The last thing I want to talk to you about, I want to just say to everybody, I was going to say everybody raise their hand who doesn't recycle, but don't do that. But listen, if you don't recycle, dang it, recycle. Go to the grocery store, get three or four or five boxes, one for your aluminum, you know, one for the paper, one for the plastic, one for the glass, and then go down. And why am I telling you this? Because Norm Campbell, my good neighbor, says that probably only 10 or 15% of our people recycle. And listen, it takes you, I go there about once every 3 weeks. It takes at least 4 minutes to get through the cycle. Really well organized. And it makes you feel good. You see somebody there that you know and so forth. So.
Thanks, Gary Paxson. It reminds me of an anecdote. I was going to the transfer station, and I was throwing something away that I was a little embarrassed to throw away. I don't know, something that was still pretty good. And Babe Strager said, "It's okay, I get paid by the pound." and we pay by the pound. So that's a good point. Hugh Bevan, welcome.
Yes, good evening, Robert. I sort of had it made as city administrator. I was a year or so behind Gary Paxson, which is kind of like taking over the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen are still playing. So, and
there are a lot of people that would disagree with that, by the way.
Well, I'm not one of them, but I was city administrator from May of 2003 till I retired from city government in May of 2005. And during those years, the external revenue streams that come to Sitka were very strong. And I think it's useful going forward with the dialogue that Mr. Gorman has started to think of our economy as being broken down into external revenue streams and internal revenue streams. External are things federal, the Forest Service. I would maybe put search in there as well as a strong external stream. The state of Alaska and all of its nuances, grants, loans, cruise ships, the charter fishing industry. And then the other side of the coin are the internal revenue streams that we generate locally, ourselves, all of our fishing community, which is the anchor of our economy. And so our problem, I think, that we're facing now is generated because the external streams have gone flat or are declining. And so that delta between those revenue streams is the center of gravity with this discussion. During my short tenure, the only real financial problems that we had to deal with were the hospital continued to struggle with its capital budget and its operating, making ends meet. When they've turned that place around, those guys have done a terrific job there. And Sheldon Jackson College was an ongoing issue as far as a financial challenge for the city. But in general, Sitka was very strong during those 2 years financially. I remember one of the budgets that we sent to the assembly, the general fund had $1 million surplus in the budget. So those were good years.
All right, thank you, Hugh Bevan. I thought now we'd go to the floor. This is a town hall meeting. You're listening live over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And I thought just for purposes of structure, you know, it's your meeting as much as mine. I thought we would talk about taxation first. Taxation, spending, and growing the economy were sort of the three areas I had in mind. Again, this was brought up at the school board hearing the other night, but if you wanted to go anywhere, that's fine. But I thought if anybody in our audience, and we've got over 30 folks here in Harrigan Centennial Hall, would like to talk about taxation, some of the guiding questions I just want to plant in your mind is, what do Sitkins expect to pay in taxes to live here? And I wonder sometimes if we have unrealistic expectations, if the fact that we live in an oil producing state has made us has sort of distorted our perspective on taxing, and do we have appropriate taxation? And then we'll just go through and we'll ask these same questions about spending and economics and stuff. But right now, I just wanted to open the floor to anybody in the audience. Just raise your hand, and Emily Foreman is our winter fellow at Raven Radio, and she'll come and bring a mic to you. And if you wouldn't mind saying your name and just posing a question that we all could talk about, and especially our city administrators up front here, if taxing is working in Sitka. Do I take your silence as a yes? Mike Reif, do you want to start us off? Emily, bring the mic around.
Can I preempt you, Mike? Because we talk taxation. I wonder how many people know that you got a general fund, that's where the sales tax goes to, and the property tax, and then you got these enterprise funds, water, sewer, and all these other things that are all fees, and they're like businesses. They're self-sufficient. I'm sorry, Mike, but
nope,
just want to make sure everybody.
That's an excellent introduction. My name's Mike Reif, and I happen to be on the assembly. The question is really a taxation, but it's also service, so it's intertwined with a couple of the areas you'd like to discuss. We have, of course, the general fund and the enterprises, the prize funds that Gary referred to. All these funds, right now, we'll start with the general fund. The general fund has such a huge amount of deferred maintenance. It's tens and tens of millions of dollars. And we have, as an assembly, and more so as a community, have to decide how are we going to either catch up on that deferred maintenance, maybe not do it, and have some of this infrastructure go away, like roads, paved roads. And the big thing is it's roughly $5 million a year to keep up with it, just as a ballpark figure. And these are the parks, the roads, and not even including all our buildings. And it's a taxation issue, but it's also the amount of services you want. And intertwined with that is our enterprise funds. You're seeing our rates go up. But also what's happening to our enterprise funds, and it's slowly happening, it's actually happening more quickly, is that we are piling on more debt in our enterprise funds. When Rocky turned those over to us, we didn't have debt. And more of these enterprise fund revenue is going to debt service. Not all of them. Some are in good shape, but some are not. And so those are two issues. Is our general fund has a huge amount of deferred maintenance. How are we going to pay for that and catch up or get rid of those some of the deferred, some of that infrastructure? And the second is infrastructure. Our rates, we aren't paying our fair share. We're kicking the bucket down to some of our future generations to pay more for services than we are today.
All right, thanks, Mike. How do you guys feel about that?
If I could add a little definition to what Mike just presented. Next year, the next fiscal year operating budget, we will need about $6 million to address our capital needs and deferred maintenance. As we're trending in our budget development for the next fiscal year, we have about $1 million to put towards that $6 million need. In the next 20 years, we're going to need approximately $97 million to take care of our deferred maintenance capital needs. We all talk about, well, maybe it's time to let our roads go back to gravel. We're not even putting enough aside to take care of gravel roads.
Someone else on the panel? The question of debt in the enterprise
funds. The numbers
funds.
Are mind-boggling. And listen, I haven't been there for 13 years. I have no idea when you say $20 million in the general fund. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know the road system is a major challenge. I mean, you got buildings and so forth. So I can't quantify all that. And I don't know whether the money you talk about in the general fund, whether part of the department, Public Works Department budget is also part of that, because certainly the Public Works Department every year has money available to take care of some percentage of that. So it's hard to get your arms around that kind of expenditure. So easy to, you know, it's a tough job, Mark and Mike, but I guess what you got to do is lay out, you know, is there a new building you need? The road system, I think we all understand, for the general fund. Lay out what the other ones are and show the cost layout, and then try to figure out through public dialogue how you proceed. But it's just, I mean, I'm not being very helpful here, but it's just for the public. I mean, it's just really, really difficult to get your arms around that till you start identifying money streams with output for what it is. And some of these figures get to be mind-boggling. You know, Bert Stedman said when we gave the fine arts camp to Sean Jackson to them, he said, can't do that. $20 million of deferred maintenance. That's right. Hell, they've already put up between work help and so forth, about half, cut that in half. So there are revenue opportunities in addition to just taxes to get there. But so the challenge is to lay out, Mike, what it is and what it's going to take to get there. I mean, for sure, we're not going to fix our roads in 5 years. But you need to lay out a 20 anyway. So that was my reaction to that.
That's what we wanted. That's why we're here. John?
I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about looking that we have a low mill levy or history of low mill levies. I went back to 1974, and the levies run anywhere. I think there were some years that were 2 mills, 3.5 mills. I think there was an 8 mill year, but by and large, the property tax levies have been really modest. If you go online to the State of Alaska Assessor, there's a publication called the Alaska Taxable, and it lists every city with what revenues they get, whether it's sales tax or property tax and that kind of thing. And it's really hard to compare cities because they have different powers and they do different things. But by and large, 6 mills, which we enjoy right now, is way, way down at the bottom. Very few communities enjoy that kind of tax levy. So early on when you said, how do we compare? Are we paying our fair share and that sort of thing? I think we've gotten by the last 40 years by paying less than we should have. The notion of having sinking funds to build things makes a lot of sense, and we've done it for buildings and equipment, but we should have been building reserves for streets and those kinds of things. And so 40 years, I mean, the big buildings spree, I was in SICK at the time, it was in the early 70s, and in 40 years stuff wears out, especially asphalt and paving and sidewalks and those kinds of things and streetlights. So we've had 40 years of low levies, and we haven't accumulated enough money to take care of the deferred maintenance. So I just ran some numbers. I talked to the assessor this afternoon, and I said, well, what was the assessed valuation in 1974? And he said, well, it was roughly $100 million. And this year it's just about $1 billion. So it's $1,000 million. And if you, say, projected that average assessed value over those 40 years was maybe $500,000 or so, if we had simply added half a mil, we would have realized at this date about $11 million in reserves, not to mention the money we could have made on interest and that sort of thing in investments. So it was about $275,000 a year we could have been socking away to take care of these things. So I just look at that in respect to the future, because from now on, it was on your broadcast, I think the assembly was talking about long-term budgeting, and we should be budgeting reserves for replacement for the entire municipal system, not just water, sewer, and those kinds of things. So I think in the future we ought to look at what it's really going to cost to keep the city going, because if the infrastructure starts going to pieces, you won't be able to attract new jobs and new industry to the community. And it's like having cell phone service out at the industrial park. Why not? I mean, Those are kinds of things that would really make it easier for people to do business out there. And anyway, we need to keep up with keep our maintenance up so that the community can function properly. If the water lines start bursting and the sewer plant goes down, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, thanks, John Stein. Hugh, I definitely want an engineer's perspective on this, too. But I also like the audience to, if you have another question, let Emily know and she'll come around. But, Hugh, this does sound like an engineering puzzle, the way Mike Reif posed the question. You know, our previous city administrator proposed bonding to repair our roads, and the idea wasn't popular because I don't think the people like the idea of going into debt, yet we do go into debt for the water system. We're going into debt. We're taking on additional debt for Blue Lake projects.
Yeah.
It's a, as far as something like roads, are you just going to constantly be chasing debt to keep a community like Sitka in pavement?
Well, first of all, I think we need to keep one foot on the ground with this whole deferred maintenance thing. I've been watching this the last couple of years, and I've been fortunate to live in a lot of little towns in Alaska over the last 45 years, and Sitka's in really great shape. Just take a little mental tour, start at the airport terminal, and go around, go around town, and our infrastructure, with the exception of the roads, which are really an obvious thing because you drive them every day, it's in terrific condition. You're building an $11 million addition to this building, a brand new library. We just paid cash for a fire station, putting brand new roofs on everything. I think we've sort of spooked ourselves with this whole deferred maintenance. Now, I agree with Mr. Reif in that acquiring debt to do deferred maintenance projects is a long-term structural problem, and we have to get away from that. But I'm definitely not in the Chicken Little camp as far as the deferred maintenance goes. All right. Now, as far as roads go, Homer had a brilliant plan in the 90s. When I was city engineer in Homer, I did 32 streets in 10 years, and it was a public-private partnership. And I think that's the kind of internal revenue stream that CITS is going to have to create to tackle its roads. You can't save up enough money to do roads. You have to do them as you go. And in Homer, they put a ballot proposition, 3/4 of a penny of sales tax dedicated for street construction. It wasn't maintenance, wasn't snow plowing, it wasn't building new roads and subdivisions, it was to reconstruct existing streets. And it was set up so that neighborhoods that wanted their street done would form a local improvement district, and they would pay 25% of the cost, and the tax paid 75%. So it was driven completely by the people, from the ballot box to the project. First come, first serve. And that totally took care of their roads program. But as far as the rest of the infrastructure goes, I think we need to take a breath and congratulate ourselves on how good things are here.
Well, I don't want to be accused of saying we did things good or whatever, but for every enterprise fund, I'm sure that if they don't have, they need to have a 5-year plan, and you need to know after 5 years where you're going to be in terms of deferred maintenance and so forth. The harbor system is different than the electrical system. Harbor system is sort of a finite number of slips. The electrical department, if you consume more power, you get more money. They have two different kinds of funds in the electrical department, restricted and unrestricted. And I have no idea in the last 13 years how much money went into the unrestricted reserves. I don't know. But in the olden days, we put about $500,000 a year into that. We also put about $200 or $300 a year in the last part into roads. Now, that's not enough to get the job done. But the issue is not what we did. The issue is you got to have finite plans. And then if those plans say on our roads that the only way we're going to get our roads up to where most Sitkans want them, we're going to do a geo bond. I think that you put the information out, I think we could do that. I sort of agree with Hugh. The rest of the deferred maintenance and the general fund, I have a hard time, just tying that down to specifics. I mean, we built a public works shed and a fire hall, you know, within that 5% sales tax, 4 to 5%, because in every fund, you always minimize your reserves, your estimate, and you maximize your expenses. And guess what? Always a few bucks left over, and so you got some money. Now, times have changed, and we're in a need now because of a variety of things, to include the reduction in the cruise business, that we need more money for city government. And my view is that our citizens, if you lay out what you need in a practical, prioritized way, we will do that. But I'm sort of in Hughes' camp. I mean, it's easy to say, well, let's do another half a mil raise. You know, electrical rates is the most regressive tax in town, right? Everybody has to play. You know, you don't get food stamps for electrical rates. So you need to sort of try to control the expenses. And maybe you can't. And if you can't, you need to explain what you need, and then we need to get it.
Yeah. Anybody in the audience have any thoughts on the idea of debt and taxes? It's kind of, the guys up here sort of live in a technical world, but we live in the real world. Anne.
Yeah, good point, Rob. That's where I'm coming from, is that perspective, and I appreciate the technical input. My name is Anne. I am a sole proprietor in a small business in Sitka. I pose this question with the utmost respect because my livelihood counts on it. When we talk about just raising the taxes half a mil, we're raising it for a certain demographic, and that is me. And the cost of living along with the taxes has increased dramatically in this town. I'm not exactly sure of those rates. The deferred maintenance, when we talk about deferred maintenance and we talk about roads, I know that a lot of these roads and some of these projects in Sitka, they do come in part by grants. And our main roads are state-owned and funded. So, but we are responsible for it. A lot of deferred maintenance, and you've, you know, alliterated the numbers. So, yeah, I'm posing the question of senior sales tax. I know it's not a popular subject, and I have the utmost respect for my seniors, and I, like I said, I do count on them for my livelihood as an archaeologist. I understand the fixed income very much so, and respect that. When we talk about raising taxes, maybe we could raise the taxes for the seniors a half a mil to help assist with some of those costs. And I know it's never a popular, it's been proposed at assembly meetings and it always gets shot down, and I feel very brave right now coming forward with that. But I am, because I am having a really hard time.
All right, thanks very much. Gentlemen, John Stein.
So who enjoyed the low mill rates over the last 40 years was my question.
You mean property owners?
Yeah.
Real estate owners?
By and large, it was guys like me, because, so I don't know. And the other thing, as far as adjustments to the sales tax, when you give exemptions, it loads the loads the cost onto the remaining people. And when I look at, if the grandparents are not paying the sales tax, then the grandchildren are paying the sales tax, effectively. So do you want, is it okay to tax the kids in town for all the food they eat and what have you, but not the elders? I don't know. That's an issue, and I certainly understand the popularity of the exemptions. But I'd like to also just mention Hughes' example of Homer, was it?
Yes.
Okay. That's how Sitka's roads were built. A third was the city, a third was one side of the street, and a third was the other side of the street, and we used state money. So a lot of that 1970 construction was shared costs, and I think that's a good way to go. And since we've basically worn, or some of those paved streets are worn out, I think they're eligible to go back and do a special assessment district. And as you say, if the folks along Edgecombe Drive want to rebuild Edgecombe Drive, well, let's go for that. I think you have to allow some general fund money to go into some of those collector streets, because there's traffic there that you account for that's not local traffic. But if it's a local neighborhood and you want your road paved or repaved or sidewalks in, vote on it. If the community wants it, then you can borrow the money and build the project.
My preference would be sales tax versus property tax, because there's a lot of unintended consequences with property tax. A lot of our lower income, middle income people, that'll affect them. Rents will go up for people who are renting. So, my bias would be a sales tax versus a property tax. And how you do that, how you treat seniors, so that's assembly business to figure out what's best and what's fair for the whole community. I've always wondered why, it's tough being an assembly member, man, it's just really difficult, but why we've never raised the limit on the sales, on how much you tax for sales tax. Is it still $1,000?
$1,500.
Well, that's a good thing, I got to tell you. I'm sure they'll come in and step on me and fuss me, but it's a good thing. My God, it's 50 years later, and somehow there's going to be a relationship to inflation in that tax, in my view.
Yeah, so, that's a good point. I think, Gary, the guys up here in your role as administrator, you do try to connect the dots to make the budget work. But Ann out there is a dot, and the Davises are a dot as well. And sort of making a policy call about the distribution of taxation does kind of fall to the assembly rather than their employee. So, yeah, we had a question from the audience. Chief Schmidt?
I just had a follow-up question on the public-private partnership for roads. If a district decided they wanted to, our neighborhood decided they wanted to pave roads or to repave the roads, then how would you collect that money? Is that through property tax or...?
No, it's almost a contract between the assembly and the assessment, the local improvement district. There's a petition that the clerk puts out, and the property owners all sign it, and then it's collected by the city from the property owners.
It's an LID. We did that for sewer down in Shotgun Alley, and it was a 20-year deal, and we paid $300 a year because of that. But we all we're all in the sewer system put in. 10 years ago, you can do that for finite districts and so forth.